Hank Coy.
Greetings, Otto.
Hank, we are talking about Martha Musics, which is the project in which we seek to describe the cell communication in terms of the language notation of music. And today we're more into a practical idea, because you said it would be nice to talk about the circulation and the projection of qi. Maybe it's good if you explain to everybody why that topic came up for you, mm-hmm. and how you would like to address it.
Yeah. So we were in the lecture and explanation of Professor Luang from China, Hong Kong, and he showed different types of qi healing, miraculous healing, like a detox of an organ within half an hour.
The sound just fell away for a moment. Can you okay. repeat that?
Yeah. So in those films, he shows his patients making all kinds of systemic movements, and by that he said that the organ, that was a specific movement for the organ to detox the organ. So like you have the cold turkey, then you see all the spasms and the cramps together, and now he could do them some way like a cold turkey, one for the liver, one for the lungs, one for the spleen, etc. So I was astounded by it, how precisely he could name it and direct it and work with it. And since I'm also vocal sound therapist, I tune in on those organs, and sometimes you see a little spasmic movement coming up when you hit a thing, but not in this strong way that he showed in his films. And he said, by just giving support to the organ with a little bit energy, the whole I say it a little bit incorrect, but the whole domino system falls in one way. So just by little stimulation of that, and I never did it with my voice to go that far, especially not that I'm not acquainted with people crawling spastic through my chamber of where I treat the people, so in my praxis. So, but I was very astounded by it, that he could name it, and he could name the organs, and he could name the movement. So I was wondering, could we make a set of movements for it, so that people can rehearse those movements? So this is not qigong movement, but more or less a repetitive, what you see with retarded people, they can also make these specific movements, but then just one. Sometimes you call it the Mongol waltz. So to show that it is a kind of dancing within them, and that they release certain tensions in their organs. So what you see with people who are mentally retarded, I don't know if that's the right word in English, but you see those movements in them, and just a tiny bit of an organ, not the whole organ cycle is done. But nevertheless, it always amazed me, what are those people doing it? Why are they doing it? It's not only for their to come at rest, it's also something changing. And so I do all kinds of sports, and so with one of the movements, we did the ape walk. So you put your hands on the floor, and then you jump with your legs to the other side of your body, and that goes a little bit quicker. Now, that same movement, a little less exaggerated than what we did in this A walk. I saw back on the spleen, I believe it was the spleen, but I don't know for sure because I have I need to have my my draft with it to be more precisely, but it's just the idea. So so by doing this, my spleen got very much activated. So I did it for about 30 meters, and my awareness totally changed within those 30 meters. So I was wondering, what the heck is going on over here? What did I do? And other times when I do this, it didn't happen. But it's likely that my spleen meridian was very low, and by doing so, all of a sudden it was filled completely. So it was very very good to feel how quickly this movement re-energized me. And I can imagine that when people do certain other movements, like the Chinese do their Qigong movements, but this is a little bit more spastic, more reflex-like. So, and I'm working also a lot with my work in this reflex area, but I never saw it so specifically named that I could make bake a cake from it. And since I saw this, I could suddenly make some ideas about it. It could be this, it could be that, and such and so. So that's more or less the idea. And then if we would put some frequencies in it and certain consonant and vowels on a certain frequency, it would be even stronger. But for this moment, I'll be just looking for this movement and what it could mean for the cells and the interconnection, because it's not only the meridian that's going well, it's also the organ that's all of a sudden starts to shine. So when the light is out of your organ, like for instance, let's say the spleen, all of a sudden the spleen starts to give light. And that's a fascinating thing, if we can create those kinds of healing effects with such simple movements. That's what I learned from the neurogenics in the past, that it was so easy to do some movement and then do your job. And now I saw more or less a similar thing, and shit, what's going on here? This is a miracle. And I can hardly grasp it, but I know it's there. And then then the search start, and that's why we are doing these talks in Metta Music almost every week, to give words to these ideas and to explore what's going on and what we could make, if we could make a cake out of it or something.
Yes, it's evidently about trying to understand something that at a deeper level we already understand, because we do it, because we are composed by it and of it. Of course, in the while you were talking, I jotted down some notes, because you have addressed some very fundamental ideas and the connectedness between them. But perhaps it's also practical if I do a bit of a summary of what we witnessed. We were both at the presentation of Yan Kuai Leon, who is a healer based on the use of qi. And this qi projection technique that he uses connects to the qi accumulation technique, which is part of the martial arts which he grew up with. So what he is doing is an extension of the martial arts. Perhaps it's practical to separate out the martial arts from the healing technique by comparing our body to an electric eel to start with. So we need to go to a much deeper level, and by doing so we also get a different kind of understanding that was presented by Dr. Leon, and also different from what you find in most of the books. From the perspective of Chinese medicine and the martial arts, evidently it all starts with the movement of the body. And in a martial arts, you have a sparring partner who helps you balance your center and who helps you to streamline your motions, also your emotions. As a result, you acquire a self-mastery of how the body functions. Basically, you learn to understand the body better. As you mentioned before, Henk, it's like dancing and learning what you can do with your body. Compared to a baby crawling and then trying to get up and falling over again and learning to walk. Likewise, the martial arts are getting up, learning to walk, toppling over, getting up again for the internal body movements. And in doing that, it is necessary to understand how the internal body movements are all related to the way the body has been created.
We're getting the service.
I
couldn't listen. I couldn't hear your last sentence.
Okay, thank you for mentioning that, because sometimes that happens in this connection. In order to understand what happens in the body at the level of the body movements, we need to go back to how the body movements at the level of the first cell. And then we see that there are a couple of principles at play in which, from cell cycles at the basis, we go to cell communication, which connects all the cycles of the cells. From the cell cycles, we can then see that there is a reflex pattern that builds up in the body. In physics, you would call that the system of eigenfrequencies. In music, you would call that the notes of the piano. Basically, those are pre-established circuits with predefined characteristics. And then we can use those reflexes to move in the environment. Compare that to making music on the piano. In connecting the cell to the cell communication, to the reflexes, to the behavior, we can suddenly see why the behavior has the different layers. Because we can go back to see that the behavior comes from the reflexes, which is actually connected to the organ system in our body. But that the reflex system is based on the decisions, which is actually based on the electrical system in the cell communication. And all of it, of course, needs to go back to the cells being part of the universe as a whole, in that sense being the universe inside out. So with this understanding, the notion of the martial arts can much more easily, much more readily be bridged to what happens in the use of qi for healing. In the Chinese model, the description of the qi healing is at the level of the organs. The Chinese medical approach has the meridian system. In the background, there is also a formulation of the chakra system. And in modern terms, you would say that the meridians are the isovector fields. They are the lines, the wiring for the attunement of the cell communication, which is different than that of the cell communication itself. So the cell communication is like having the telephone conversations in the telephone wires, but the cell attunement is at the level of people connecting from one telephone line to the other. So that's a deeper system. In the Chinese medical system, they describe this organ level, and that's connected to the meridian system with this isovector fields, because that is where the organs, each in themselves, do their thing, like a colony of cells living in their environment. But all of these cells together form a cycle, a circulation, like a musical note or a key note in a musical piece. So each organ in that sense is a different musical note. Each organ is a musical note, and all of them make a chord, but that chord can move around. So the that's what in the Indian approach is called the Om. It's the vibration of these different organs, which correspond to the chakra system, but the tuning between them requires that they are shifted up and down a bit, so that they can all mesh up and match up, and together can do more than alone. So this approach is very different from what you see in a modern medical hospital doctor approach, where you have a kidney doctor, a lung doctor, a heart doctor, and so on. This is where you actually need to see, as in geriatrics, that all of these organs are connected up, and if one organ is overexhausted and has a burnout, then another organ cannot work anymore, because they all need each other, they form a cycle. So the Chinese medical system is very well of this cycle. It's called the five element cycle, which is actually a cycle of six element, because this cycle can only work as the circulation of the blood in the body, if there is also a circulation to the outside world, which takes place via the gut. So the blood is connected to the internal organs, the gut is connected to the external organs, and the internal organs are the ones that polish the blood, and the external organs are the ones that regulate the blood, so like the gallbladder, the bladder, and so on. And as a result, there is this double cycle in which the organ cycle, as described by Chinese medicine and Indian medicine, is one level of the description. But in that organ system, there is an exit and an entry point within the five element pentagram notation, is the top point, which is where the flow into that system and the flow out of the system takes place. And in Chinese medicine, this is very well known. So they compare the organ cycle as the farming land where the crops can grow, but they can only grow if the water flow into the land and out of the land is well regulated. So that takes place in this sixth point, which is actually the top point, which can open and close like a switch. And so it is in that switching that the cycle of communication between the cells is calibrated to the functioning of the cells. So if you look at it from the perspective of the cell, you have the cell cycle as an internal circulation of the cell, but the cell communication is based on the feed forward and the feedback between the cells. So that's the external aspect of this cell communication, the cell circulation. So the circulation on one hand, communication on the other, but together they form a Möbius loop. And all these Möbius loops are linked. Every cell has its own internal cycle, but the cells between them have this linkage between all their feed forward and feedback cycles. So where the organ level description of Chinese medicine looks at this circulation between the cycles, between the cells, between the organs, there is this other aspect where the attunement takes place within the cells. So that's deeper level. And once you see that, you can also see that in the body, the organ level, which is actually the processing of, say, the body chemistry, is of a different nature and a different quality than that of the organ glands. So the organs are the processors which take in the food and the blood and combine the food and the blood. So if the food feeds into the blood and the blood feeds into the food, which then is excreted to the environment. But at a deeper level, the attunement between these organ processes is operated by the organ glands, and the organ glands is the chakra system or the hormonal system, which is intimately connected with the neuronal system. So together they're called the neurocrine system, which is, as Cyril Smith describes it, the relationship between the telegraph wire and the postal delivery within a society. The neurons are very direct links from one part of the body to the other via a dedicated line having a specified electromagnetic pulse rhythm as you would have in a telegraph or telephone wire, while the hormones are excreted from cells, from glands, into the body, but very specifically, let's say, addressed to other cells in the body by receptors, or more specifically by the electromagnetic vibration of the molecules involved. So every molecule at that level has its own little melody, which fits in with the melody plate and in cells elsewhere. So these molecules, these hormones, can be emitted into the body as a whole, into the bloodstream and into the interstitium and into the environment of the cells, as a result of which the cells which have affinity for that can then respond to that signal and tune up or tune down what they're doing. In pharmacokinetics and pharmaceutical modeling, this is often described as the molecule receptor model. They state that the molecule needs to match into the molecule on the cell, but at a deeper level, these receptors are already attuned because they have an electromagnetic spectrum affinity. They're like the same kind of melody, and as a result of that they will already interact and sing their song together. But that means that we need to understand the whole exercise of projecting chi differently, because we're no longer talking about the chemistry and the electron flow between the organs, but we're talking about the orchestration of the attunement of the organ by the electromagnetic signals. So it's like we shift from an electrical current to an electrical information signal.
Mm-hmm.
And in this shift, we shift from chemistry to electromagnetism. We shift from the organs to the glands, and we also shift from an internal circulation to the regulation thereof. And then we can see how that connects to the chi, because in understanding the organs, we have only part of the story. We actually need to understand what chi is, and there we have to make a correction on the understanding as this was provided in the West. Rather, the misunderstanding which emerged out of what happened when the understanding of the Far East and the East came into Europe, because by the Silk Road the Jesuits collected the text of the Chinese, brought them back to Europe where they were translated by Müller, which led to the incorporation of that understanding into the Western world. And at that time, these translations took place in the area of where we would now position the Wiener Kreis, and of course also at the time of the Wiener Kreis, because these texts were brought in, and first the philosophers and then the artists tried to grasp them. And from the artist it then went into the mathematicians and the physicists, and around them had this whole emergence of the Wiener Kreis, with a change in perspective from, let's say, classical science to relativity theory, because instead of looking at the state of things, they started to look at the process of things, as was implied by these Chinese texts. The mistranslation took place because at that moment the word qi was understood in a wrong manner. Essentially, in the West, they thought, well, qi is so important, it must be the same as the most important thing that we know, which is energy. Because in the development of science, they have gone from the structure of matter to the process of molecules into the energy transformation of atoms. But they failed to understand that qi is a much deeper level. That qi is not about the energy, but qi is actually about the information of energy. Because if you look what happens in the body, we are not dealing with matter in a classical sense. We are not dealing with chemical processes, as you see that in the reaction tube. We are not dealing with atomic physics. Instead, we find that cells are able to use nuclear energy physics in producing the molecules that they need and producing the body materials that they use to optimize their cell communication. So in the physical model, nobody's involved. That was the old outsider observer model. But in our body, every cell is involved, and it's an insider creator model. So when you see that the terminology of qi is not about energy, then you can understand it's about energy information, or the information that you need or that the cell needs to be able to work with the energy. So then you can see that at the level of the body regulation, the cells internally, they can change how they work with these nuclear forces. As a result, they can change what kind of molecules they will produce. They can take in molecules, they can transform those molecules, turn them into something else, so they can absorb, store, transform, and release molecules. They can actually do the same with electrons, they can do the same with photons, they can do the same with quanta. So cells are nuclear processors, but in order to be able to do that, they need information. They need to know what they do in relationship to the environment. They need to know what the next cells are doing. They need to know what the body as a whole is doing. They need to know what's going on around us. So these cells, they work with electromagnetic information fields. And these electromagnetic information fields, which are described by tetrionics, are not material. They're pure phase fields of phase information. And that phase information is actually related to qi. If you connect it to the body, it's called qi. If you have it connected to the mind, it's called yi. You could also call it intent. So much of what happens in the body is about the transformation from yi into qi, or to from thought into action. And then suddenly you see that at that level, yi and qi are the phase field, is an electromagnetic field as described by tetrionics. But you see that at that level, the cells are working with it just as they are working with matter. How they can accept it, they can store it, they can transform it, they can release it. But in the same way, they can accept information, they can store information, they can transform information, they can release information. And then suddenly, the accumulation of qi, as is done by qi healers, is a very logical process, and the projection of qi likewise is a very logical process. And that's where it's really practical, that before we have been talking about tetrionics, because in tetrionics you can see that there is this electromagnetic field which is two-dimensional, one-dimensional, zero-dimensional, outside of the three-dimensional realm, but the foundation of it, and that in that electromagnetic field, particles can form, tetrions, which are surface charged, so they can be moved by the electromagnetic field, but by themselves they are inert. So suddenly we see that in the model of tetrionics, everything material is inert, it's static, just like classical science modeled it, but that's actually moved with respect to each other by the internal currents of electricity, of the quantum field, which is in tetrionics called the BEM circulation, which would be the internal heat motion or the internal circulation between the tetrons, also known as the heat level. And so this internal circulation is based on the electromagnetic field being captured and resonated and resounding between the tetrons within matter. But there's another component of that energy flow, which is the flow which goes over the matter. It doesn't get captured into it. It might go through it, might go around it, and that in tetrionics is called the chem field, the chem flow, actually. As a whole, it's the field, but when you relate it to the tetrions, to matter, you can see that it is a very precise flow. And so that is the essence of tetrionics, that you have the EM field, the electromagnetic field, which is everywhere, all pervasive, and then you have the chem flow, the kinetic electromagnetic flow, which passes over the material structures and thus also goes into it, flows out of it, so that brings field into the material and brings it back out. But then you also have the BEM circulation, which is, say, the flow that is captured like eddies or circulatory currents within the material structure. And that then moves the tetrions. So suddenly we have a direct translation between the tetrionic understanding of electromagnetic fields interacting with matter in the form of tetrions, and the two types of electrical flow or electric field, quantum electrical field flow, information flow into matter and out of matter in the chem flow, but also how it is stored and captured and transformed as the BEM circulation. So then we can easily translate that and understand that just as the cells can accept, store, transform and release molecules and electrons and photons and quanta, there is also this in and out flow of the chem field and the circulation of the BEM field, and that is where the qi healers work with their qi. So in the qi you need to connect your body to the environment, which is done by stretching techniques, by breathing techniques, by perception techniques, by meditation techniques. So your body must be tuned into the environment, because only then can the gates open and can the environmental electromagnetic field, the air, the water, the food go into the body and go out of the body again. That's the equivalent of the chem flow. So in that way you can incorporate within your body the material of the food, but the material is actually the molecules of the chemistry and thus the electrons, but that is actually an electromagnetic phenomenon. So you have taken in electromagnetism in the food, in the water, in the air, in the light. So you charge up your body with electromagnetic field. So by the chem field you can charge up the body and up to overflowing. So the other part of the techniques that are trained in the martial art and in the meditation and in the shamanic practices and in mysticism is that of the ability to store the frequencies. In alchemy it's called raising the frequencies. So the more of that electromagnetic field that you can store in the body, the more your body will become autonomous, the more your body will become self-carrying, the more your body will be self-repairing, the more your body will become self-conscious. So by getting the information flow to flow into the body and to match up with the body, you actually create an information field which is directly tied in with the electromagnetic field flow in the body. And this is where it's very nice to refer to the work of Björn Nordenström and many others, because what you can see in terms of the tetrionic chem flow and the BEM circulation is what Björn Nordenström looked at in the body electromagnetic flows. There are many people who've looked at the body electromagnetic processes. Clive Baxter used lie detectors to see that plants use electromagnetic information. Valerie Hunt measured the electromagnetic flow in muscles while people were being massaged. Itzhak Bentov described the whole physio-kundalini syndrome, by which the electromagnetic field in the body can use the body pulsations to actually raise consciousness. Herbert von Fröhlich, who showed that the cells use electromagnetic dynamics, charge discharge at the micron level and below. Cyril Smith, who extended that understanding to see how homeopathy and acupuncture are stored and flowing forms of radio information in the body. Robert Becker, who showed that how these electromagnetic fields and flows are relevant for healing. And Bjorn Nordenstrom, who wrote a whole treatise on the bioelectrical circulations, in which he said that all of the blood vessels and all of the lymph vessels and all of the gut, in fact all of the body materials and everything in the body, is in some way a conductor or an insulator for electricity in the body. In other words, our body is a motherboard for a computer software program by which the body as a whole, as the hardware, can be operated. Bjorn Nordenstrom came to this realization because he was a radiologist at the Karolinska University Hospital. And as a researcher, he discovered that there was a corona around tumors in the lungs when people had cancerous growth. And he wondered why there was this circular kind of radiation around it. Later, he discovered that that was actually because there was an electromagnetic field which has polarized into a ball shape, as a result of which the water was organized, as a result of which the molecules started to organize, which was basically part of the forming system of the tumor. So he realized that the tumor is actually a growth which results from, say, a ball lightning which had got stuck in the body. And of course a ball lightning is happens when you have three lightnings coming together and they can sort of make a roundabout between them, as we also see in the suns and the stars. So when it happens in the body, an experience gets sort of locked in the body, which we do as the memory process, and then it can circulate around and around and around. And if it doesn't match into the body, then the body cells will sort of be swept around by that electric current and distort our growth and form a tumor, which is also directly connected to what comes up later in the story with the healing by the effect of qi. Then you just discharge that ball, as a result of which the cells lose their connectedness due to the sucking effect of that electromagnetic field, and the cancer ungrows. But before we can get there, we need to get a bit more of the understanding of Bjorn Nordenstrom, because he realized that these coronas were actually, say, charges in the body, which I would then call a kind of ball lightning or a little sun, a little storage nodule of an electrical circulation going around in a ball in the body. But from that he also realized that the whole body is electromagnetic. And so at some point he stuck electrodes in the tumor and outside of the tumor, as a result of which the charge potential collapsed, as a result of which that said that ball-like circulation of electricity in a body collapsed, as a result of which the tumor collapsed. Robert Becker found the same, that if there's a broken bone, then the electromagnetic coherence field of the body is distorted. If you provide a coherent electromagnetic field in the area of the broken of the break in the bone, then the cells can use that signal to realign what they do to reform the bone structure. Bjorn Nordenstrom then researched that and discovered that there are what he calls the infonars and the ergonars, basically the information flow in the body and the power flow in the body, as you would have in say a radio control of a computer, and the computer using used to control an engine or a power. So in the body, both of them are there. So in the body, we can see that there is a radio field, had the electromagnetic field, but there is also electric flow, a flow of electrons. And evidently, the work of Nikola Tesla is really relevant to see how all of this connects, and how the radio field goes throughout and between the body, and the electrical field, electrical flow goes within the body. Again, this BEM field and the Kempe circulation, but now in the electrical interpretation. This then gives the basis for what happens in the Qi healing. Because the Qi healing, on the one hand, the Qi practitioner can take in the energy into the body from the food, from the water, from the air, and from the sun, or any vibration in that sense, which is what breatharians do as well. So they charge up the body by vibrations directly. But of course, that needs to match what happens in the body, needs to mash into what happens in the body. So it needs to mimic, align with, integrate with the electrical circulation of the ergoners and the infoners in the body, which means that those flows must take place within the electrical conductor circuit of the blood vessels, of the neurons, of the meridians, of the lymph duct, and so on. As a result of which, they can go into the body and then can't be slowed down. For example, in the connective tissues, which are collagens, which are say sort of intelligent gels, and in that way, every material in the body works in retuning the music of the electromagnetic fields, in a way slowing it down, so that this very fast, lightning fast vibration can be siphoned in, like in a vortex, slowing down. So that it can turn into a flow into the body, so that it can turn into a circulation into the body, so that it can turn into a storage field into the body. This is how we form the body, this is how we memorize information, this is how we digest information, this is how we digest food. It's all the same principle. And so you can apply that principle also for qi. So you can inhale qi, you can chew the qi, you can swallow the qi, you can digest the qi, and you can incorporate the qi. But that is done parallel to what happens in the digestive system. So in a way, you're not working at the level of how the cells do it between them, but you need to actually be a participant of it and need to feel how everything you're doing feeds into what the body is doing. That's why meditation is so important in that practice of qigong and qi healing, because you need to feed the vibrations into body, you need to learn to feel it, and as a result you learn to feel your body at a much deeper level, which is why I always describe that as feel well, which is a diagnostic and a remedy. So if you feel well, you can feel what's happening in your body. But you can also feel what's not working too well, and most importantly, what is too much or too little, but most importantly, where you do not feel something, which is where something got stuck or something got repressed. So in working with the qi, you can actually learn to feel this, and it is like listening for the music in the body. But learning to listen for the subtle music, which is why in English it is also called subtle energy, or the subtle science, or the subtle knowledge, or the subtle sensations, because you're feeling what happens in the body, but you're not feeling what you feel with the body, but you feel for what you feel in the body. But actually you want to be a level deeper still. You want to feel what the body is feeling, and then that you can feel into that, and then you can siphon in the KEM flow and process that into a BEM circulation into the body, so you can store up that chi into your body at many different layers. Every electrical circuit in your body can be used to store that. It is like you build up music. You start with a single note, you inhale, and then you turn it into a melody. You inhale, bring it to a part of the body, you exhale, and then you turn it into a little rhythm. You inhale, store it in the body, see what happens, what feels around it, and then feel what changes, and then exhale that, discharging all the charges that you need to get rid of. And then you build that up to a little symphony, so that you inhale into the body, which has now been cleaned out, because you felt all of the parts of the body, you've been able to discharge the charges in the body, so you can sort of feel it into the whole body. And then you can experience that you can fill up the body with breath, or let's call it the music, or let's call it the light, or let's call it the vibration, the chi. So your whole body starts to build up with more and more chi. It's a bit like charging a Leyden jar or charging a battery with more and more electricity, because simply you get the vibrations from outside. The body integrates the vibrations into flows, into currents, and into resonance. And that resonance, those songs are then composed within each other, layer upon layer within layer. It's where the whole body starts to resonate, which the Indians then call the Om. And that Om is then actually the charge capacity of the body as a whole. So the whole body is filled with these vibrations. But in the same way that the cells can take in a molecule, or an electron, or a photon, or a quantum, and the cells can then store it, transform it, and emit it, likewise the whole body and the organs and the cells can store the electromagnetic field, the chi. They can incorporate it, they can store it, they can also transform it and release it. And that's what the chi healers do. When they work with the chi healing, when I do it, when Hank, when you do it, you feel into what's happening in the other human. And in a way you get a double picture. You know what you feel like, because you'll be training at it, you'll be doing the meditation, you slept well, you've been doing the exercise, you know what your body feels like when you use it. But then suddenly you touch somebody else, or you think of somebody else, and you notice that within your body there are changes. Suddenly you no longer feel yourself, but you also feel what the other is feeling. And the more you get the hang of that, the more you train that, the more you practice that, the more you can discover that there are things which are the same. Most often they are the patterns of health. And also you can feel that there are things which are different. And most often those are the elements of the stagnated chi, the stagnated memories, the stagnated flows, the stagnated circulations. So those are the things that they have not digested, they have not processed that. So in the chi healing, this is basically those corona balls again that Björn Nordenström detected in his radio imaging. So when you feel it, you can feel that there are these charges in the body of the others, and that can be as pain, that can be as fear, that can be as depression, that can be as feeling dead. Suddenly you don't feel something anymore in that region. And what you then do is the same as what you would do for yourself. If you had that for yourself, how would you digest it? How would you get the organ system to reconnect with it? And kinesiology does an excellent job of that. So you then reassess and reprocesses that information that got stuck, as a result of which you get it unstuck. And neurotherapy then demonstrates that it does mean that you have to review that traumatic experience that you sort of stuck in your body because you didn't know how to deal with it. So when you unstuck it, you do have to deal with it. But because you're no longer in that situation which was threatening, you can now digest it and simply take back the information out of that. So in Qi healing, that's what you do. You connect up to somebody else, and then you feel where the information got stuck or where there are areas of burnout, and by connecting up to it, you can then digest it within your own body. So that those are the two types of healing, essentially. The one which I tend to do is I accept it in my body, say Ho'oponopono style. I just assume that if I would feel like that, how would I deal with it? And I can't do that because at that moment that I am sort of co-computing what they are doing, I do feel it within me, so I can process it and I can see how it resolves. And sometimes that goes quickly because I sort of know how to do it. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. And then after a couple of days, I can feel that in me, my body fixed it, reassessed it, replaced it. And then at that time, mostly the other also has the healing effect. There's another way in which you can sense what's happening within you, but then say, well, that's not actually happening within me, it's happening within the other. So let's fix the other. I have some difficulties with that. Yes, it is powerful. Yes, it is effective. Yes, it is quick as well. But there are always things that you have not yet seen in that picture of the other, because it's like you're starting to listen into the symphony of their body. You can hear that a couple of the instruments are out of tune. Maybe they're too fast or slow. They're have broken strings, or the musician is too drunk, or whatever is happening. You can listen into that symphony, but you do not hear everything right from the start. So when I notice that, because when I feel into them, I can discover that I resolve the problem, but then suddenly there's something else that comes in. And there might be something else yet that comes in after that. So I have to move through a couple of layers, and it's only because I resolve the first layer that the second can come to view, and that the third can come to view. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a bit hesitant to do it the other way around, to project chi into the other. Because, of course, if there is a place where you know that there's too little, and there is a place where you know there is too much, you can actually cross-connect them. So there where the energy got stuck, you can take that energy out of that place and move it in a way visually or seemingly physically to the place where there is an energy lack. And the best way to illustrate that is in, for example, shiatsu massage. Because shiatsu massage is a very complete kind of therapy. You can pull the bones, you can stick a heel in a muscle, you can press with fists, with hands, with fingers, you can stroke with fingers, you can hold the finger at a distance, you can point at it from a distance, you can feel for the aura and feel into the aura, you can even do that with your eyes, you can even do that at a distance. So once you get that understanding, then you know that when you touch a body, you're actually communicating with this colony of living cells. They are processing information. They took in the chem flow of vibrations from the environment and pushed that out on the other end again. They actually process that on the inside of them as the BEM circulation. So the storage of information and memories, but also the storage of traumatic events and experiences. And so the important aspect is then that you need to somehow see that sometimes information is stored because there is no other solutions for it as yet, but it is not stored in a form which is compatible with the body, and that actually is the basis of origin of all the diseases. And so, yes, we store it, but the body can't deal with it, so the body gets distorted. The cells go in dissonance. They start to build up next to each other in a different way. So the cells get disturbed in their communication. As a result, they get disturbed in their feed-forward feedback circulation, as a result of which they grow in a different way. So the growth in the body at the anatomy, for example, cancers, is always the result of a change of the physiology, the cell communication, which is always the result of a misunderstanding between the cells, which is always the result of information having become disinformation. And that's what happens in our body. We always have information and disinformation. We have experiences which we can integrate, and we can have experience which we have not yet been able to integrate, so they are just stored in a separate, say, call an isolation field, so that they're locked down in the body in what Freud called suppressed memories. The technical term would be hell. It's like a freezer. And in order to keep that in place in the body, around these blocked, locked memories, which cannot be incorporated and they cannot be gotten rid of, nobody has a solution as yet, around them there is a charge field. It's a bit like having handles by which you can store that electrical field within the body, which is an electrical field. So you need an extra field, a charge field around the memory, the disruptive memory. And it's a bit like in the CERN cyclotron, they have these magnetic fields around the electric particle, so that the magnetic fields can keep this particle in place, and so that is what they also use in plasma physics, and then they call it magnetic vessels. There's not a bottle, but it's a magnetic field, and the magnetic field built up by the magnet fields coils around them, then is capable of holding plasma or electrons or photons in place. So that technology has been built up over the years now. And in our body we see the same, that in our body some of these memories are stored in a charge field, and that charge field is what we could call purgatory. It's this fiery ring of the electric charge discharge areas, a bit like lightning in place, which marks the gate, as described by Dante Alighieri in his book on purgatory, so that behind that fiery gate there is this locked in memory, which is in this isolation stasis chamber called hell. Once you know this, you can look for these stasis chambers, and then you can you need to tune into this purgatory gate around it, which you feel as the pain field or the despair field or the despondency field, but you also need to connect up to the underlying inner isolated shock field, because that's the one that had to be taken away out of the body but couldn't be eliminated from the body. So it's in the body but it's contained within the body by this extra charge field. So when you're working with chi, actually, it's the same as this BEM and this CHEM field. You have this locked-in shock experience, which is kept in place by, say, this magnetic seal, which is vibrating, oscillating, rippling, a bit like a lightning phenomenon, a bit like an aurora borealis, but in a way that the body sort of can and cannot understand it. Which is, by the way, the basis of a lot of these stories about ghosts and spirits, fathom figures, and then you go through a gate, you go to these other levels. So these are metaphors for what happens at these levels. So then you can see that as a chi healer, you know that all of the body is based on an electromagnetic effect, for the simple reason that cells use information to operate nuclear forces to make the feed forward, the feedback cycles between them, which then leads to the physicalization of the body. And the principle behind that is very fundamental. There's the photon leap of the information change that leads to the electron leap, as a result of which the electrons can go to a different charge state. that then can lead to a coupling of atoms by electron oscillation, the valence coupling, and that then can lead to the electron bonding where the electrons are sort of stuck in place. And all of the body materials use that. So the electromagnetic field of the body is the basis of our whole body. All of these vibrations are at the level of music, which is why we have that whole theme of math music. And in the chi therapy, you then use the information, the infonars and the ergonars, just as Bjørn Nordenstrøm described, but also as is depicted on the tomb of King Seti I of Egypt, where you see a man lying on a slab, and then there is a snake going to his forehead from this parabola dish, and there is this snake going along up the wall to this parabola dish, and the snake comes from the other side of the wall, creeping out of these wine vats, these amphoras. But at that time, the amphora was a battery, the snake was an electrical cable, the snake was an electrical current, the snake was an electrical ray. And so, in that sense, these Egyptians showed that they already were working with this chi, but they had the technology for it. Mm-hmm. So what the chi healer does is the same as this machine depicted on the tomb of King Seti I. There is a battery, which is the chi that the Qigong master has accumulated by the breathing, by the eating, by the drinking, by the sun. So the body is full of chi. Then the internal circulation of this snake biting its own tail, which is a time cycle or a storage loop of electrical circulation, so it's an electrical resonance. So that electrical resonance is then the Ouroboros, which can be stored in the body, and then once you have this BEM circulation, you have enough of that chi available, then you can turn it into a flow. So you can direct it. By the way, when you have this this circulation, this Ouroboros snake biting its own tail, this time loop, that's also a resonator circuit, and by the resonator circuit you can feel within your body what's happening in the body of another. And that's what Tesla described with the radio communication, attuned frequencies. So once you have the attuned frequencies, then you can also, and music is the better description for that, then you can scan for the dissonance, where the resonance is sort of off kilter. So you feel for, listen for, look for the dissonance in those vibrations, and then you retune it so that you make the snake circuit larger or smaller, which means that you need to stretch the snake. So you go from the BEM circulation to the CHEM flow, and at that moment, once you got that, then you can actually, as in the tomb of King Seti I, direct a beam into the other circuit in the same way that you have a photon going into the atom, as a result of which the electron can go one far orbit to the other. So that is the straightforward principle by which the chi healer can then retune the circuit in the other by basically a laser effect. If you look at the deeper details of it, then the chi healer feels into the resonant circuit of the other, and then feels into the corresponding resonant circuit within himself, and then makes those two phase coherent. So he feels for the resonance in the one circuit in the body of the other, and the same corresponding circuit within himself, and then he can phase modulate the circuit in himself. But as a result, because these two circuits between in him and in the other are resonant, then by the Tesla's standing wave, the longitudinal wave system, there will be a tuning of the resonance, as a result of which, between these two coupled oscillators, there will be an up and down motion, an oscillation that can be established between them, which is the equivalent of laser. So that's what Tesla then describes as a longitudinal system, and Tetrionics makes that very clear, that you then have a connection which is like a laser-like link between the one and the other, and by that laser link you can retune the circuit in the other. A bit like somebody's now trying to telephone you, trying to retune the circuit.
Yeah, from so, Mexico.
So in doing that, it is possible to change your own circuit and then correspondingly connect to the circuit of the other, and between them you have this say laser link, but as a result of that you can actually, and that's what Tesla also described, you can transfer energy, you can transfer information, and you can transfer energy. So the Qi healer then does that and basically zaps a charge across. Like in the Tesla energy, you have a spark discharge, and that's also what Roelf van Wijk and others found. At the moment that a healer goes into the theta brainwave frequencies for the hands-on healing or the remote healing, then there is a charge discharge in the theta frequency range, which is monitored, which was monitored by the algae biophoton detection system. So the healer then actually connects to the other, establishes a link between the one and the other, and then the internal vibrations in the healer makes a jump, a resettling of the electric configuration, which as a hologram is zapped across. But in the coupled system, it can then sort of copy that information and use that information to restore the underlying pattern of the circulation and organization of the cells. So that essentially is then the pattern of the Qi healing, which means that it is at the level of the organs, and it will move within the reflex system of the organs, and it will connect to the Möbius-Luss loops of the organs connecting to the environment, and thus it will be part of the reflex systems by which we extend our arms and contract our arms and open up and close down. But once you understand that that's the general principle, then it's also clear that when you retune the electricity, or when you retune the computer, then the robot can function well. So that basically brings down the story essentially to a close of how Qi healing would work. Part of the description you can find in what Tesla has been doing and demonstrating. Part of it is what you can see in Tetrionics, and the graphics and the connection of atoms forming molecules, forming fields, connecting planets, and so on. A part of it is directly related to the way the cells work with energy and actually produce the materials to work with and communicate with and form the body with, which basically they build their temple. And the only thing that you need to understand then is the better you understand what happens within you, the principle feel well, the more you become sensitive to what is disturbed within you, which you then can learn to digest and resolve, the more you become sensitive to what happens in others, which you can then likewise learn to digest and resolve. And then, in fact, you can become a source of contagious health. For example, Yang Kuai Liang is in that way a pivot of contagious health. And there are many ways to do it. He reached out through the martial arts. Other people use it, reach it through yoga. Others reach it through meditation. Others fall off their bicycle and get the reset, as a result of which it all suddenly falls in place again. But at the foundation, it's all that the electricity, the electrical flow and the electrical information in the body are reconnected and compatible again.
Yeah, I was wondering, so what this movement could do. So since it's electromagnetical, this movements would be unnecessary, not necessary for the release. Nevertheless, I found in movements that they are very often necessary, what you also learned from the bisignatures of Ibrahim Karim, and that everything has a certain cycle or a movement. And now a movement is much more complex than just a flow shape, a biogeometric flow shape. But I was wondering to grasp more from these specific movements. So if we use them and integrate them, and then it would be a Kempfelt likely. I think we need some more language for this than just what you had from Shaolin or from a Chinese martial art, and also what we have with the work of Kelvin Abraham and what we do with math music. So the answer is not completely answered. So
Shall we take that up next time? Because what you're asking for is this is actually the technique of integral healthcare what you're addressing, because once you see that it's electrical, does it sometimes have to become chemical in diseases and inflammations? Why does it sometimes have to become physical in cathartic shocks and acting out? And that has to do with the way people stored the information in the body, and also it has to do with the way where they operate. If they're physical, then they don't know that they can actually discharge their emotions. They don't have to act on their emotions. They can actually work with their emotions. And once they learn that, then they can discover that it's actually not emotional, but it is fictional. That the whole emotional surge and sweeps and swoons and everything. And there were periods of time where people were really heavily into this swooning of let's build up the emotions, let's have these hormones career through the body. And of course, that can be very destructive for the body. But at a deeper level, the hormones are part of the neuronal electrical circulation. So why would you need to act it out physically if it is just to reorganize the electrical flow, which is chemical, which is actually only the repositioning of information in an electric field, which is neuronal? But why not go back to the photonic? And then, yes, you don't have to go through the physical movements of things, because the body realizes that it never was part of it anyhow. And people don't have to go through the emotional charge discharge and upheavals and the psychotraumatic, the psychological and the psychosis, the neurosis and all that, because they realize that it is not at that level. It is not that they in their body would need to relive a part of that experience which they couldn't experience, they couldn't compute it, but they need to see that the experience was just an event which was stored in the memory banks, and there is no need to relive it as an emotion or to act it out again as a bodily thing. So maybe next time we can then go into realizing that everything that is physical. You make
The
chemical, but you
disturbances
make.
come quite audible on this side, so maybe we are on 66 minutes.
Used to be that, huh? Okay, let me recapitulate. So, once you understand that it is in essence information.
I can help. Now I can hear it again. Yeah, in essence, information.
If you know that the essence is information and that
No,
it
no, no,
is
no. We should cut the now the
let me
recording.
see. Let me see if we can just have it. Just that, just one
Okay.
30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
Just let me know if you can hear it. Because then we have it all in one parcel. So for next time, let's than how the physical is chemical, how that this is actually magnetic and how it acts to create pure information. Could you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it. We've got a lot of echo and all kinds of disturbances.
Okay,
so yeah.
Okay. Then we'll just run it off for you. Pick it up next time.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you for the evaluation.
Yes. Okay. Here you.
Thank you.